WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome everyone on this fall-like morning. It is good to be together. A few announcements before we get started. Our liturgist this morning is Marcy. Radio sponsors are Jamie and Karen Whitwer, in memory of Ernest and Alice Whitmer. Still looking for Thanksgiving pies. Wednesday, November 27th from 8 to noon, they'll go over to the community Thanksgiving dinner. Also that day, that evening, at 6:30 at St. John's Lutheran, there is an ecumenical Thanksgiving service. So everybody's welcome to come to that. We'd love to see you. Help excite little people. Where'd Margaret go? She's there. She is. Hi, Margaret. Need some toy cleaning still. So Monday the 25th, 10 to noon. Fantastic. Are you getting lots of toys and clothes and all the things?
We are, but we've prepared other years. It's a little quiet right now, but everybody waits till Thanksgiving to supply them.
Okay. So taking things for help excite little people, toys and clothes and all kinds of mittens. And so I know once you're through with Thanksgiving, everybody will start their Christmas things. Oh my goodness. Next Sunday after church, after we have a little coffee hour, we'll have some adult education. We'll talk about Advent and Christmas. And in your orders of worship, you have a little poster. Old Befana is a Yuletide musical. It will be here Sunday, December 29th, 1 p.m., taking some minutes at donations at the door, and there will be refreshments after. Old Befana is a very old Italian tale. Befana comes from Epiphany, probably. So she was an old woman that the Magi stopped to see on their way to find the Christ child, and she decided after they left that she was going to go find him too. So she set off, and so Epiphany is often celebrated with gifts, because more gifts after Christmas, and treats and fun. So it's a lovely tale. Please come for that. All right. And now here, our first UCC welcome statement. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself, said Jesus. First United Church of Christ is an open and affirming congregation. We strive to foster loving and caring relationships in our church and community, as we welcome and value all people. Whoever you are, however you identify, whomever you love, whatever your story, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome as you are here at First UCC, Sauk City. Now let's take a few moments of silence as we enter into this time of worship. God is with us always, wherever we are. And this time is specially set aside for us to notice and respond. Feel God in you and around you.
Please join me in the call to worship. Stand if you are able. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are him. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and its courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
The Lord is good.
His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Our first hymn, remain standing if you are willing and able, is number 422, Come Ye Thankful People. Please join me in our prayer of unburdening. God of our ancestors, often we believe that the way things are or always have been is the way they are supposed to be. The evils of empire as the norm, forgetting that we are called to co-create your kingdom. Poverty, racism, sexism, exploitation of the poor, ravaging of the planet, violence, greed are just part of life. Even daring to think that those who experience evil might have deserved it. We fail to discern between the way things have been and the way they should be. Forgive us this short-sightedness and help us to see beyond what we know, to what you dream. And hear God's promise. God, who is good and true, promises other ways, ways of community, of peace, of decolonization, of cherishing creation, and being good stewards. Even if it costs God everything, the divine restores, for which we say, thanks be to God. For 2,000 years, we have been gathering at Christ's table, breaking bread, drinking wine, remembering the night Christ was betrayed, remembering his death. This meal is called the Eucharist. It means thanksgiving. It is a thanksgiving dinner. We remember our blessings. We remember God who loved us enough to come and be with us. We remember Christ's teaching that each person is precious and beloved. We remember he spoke especially to the poor, to the widows, to the women, to the oppressed. We wonder who those people would be in our own time. On his last night, he took bread and he broke the bread, blessing it and saying, "This is my body. It is given for you. Eat and remember me." At all the tables where we gather, where we give thanks, that happens this week and can happen every single day. Remember that you are beloved. Remember that you are precious. Remember that Jesus served and told us to serve as well. And that last night he took a cup of wine, he blessed that, and he said, "This is my blood given for you. Drink and remember." We recreate that table
every Sunday, with others around the world and throughout time. That table of thanksgiving, that table of love, the table of welcome. Holy Spirit, we ask you to pour out your blessing on this bread, this wine. May they be holy food for us. May we be nourished by communion, by gratitude, by our history, by our community. May we be nourished to be Christ's body in this world. In your name we pray. Amen. Bread of life broken for you. Stacy, the bread of life broken for you. Oh. Steve, the bread of life broken for you. Heaven, the bread of life broken for you. Heaven, the bread of life broken for you. The bread of life broken for you. The bread of life broken for you. Surely, the bread of life broken for you. 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 Listen, the bread of life broken for you. Take it. Bread of life broken for you. Tammy, the bread of life broken for you. The bread of life broken for you. It is the bread of life broken for you. 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 The bread of life broken for you, Tammy. The bread of life broken for you, Diana. Bread of life broken for you. The bread of life broken for you. The bread of life broken for you, Christy. The bread of life broken for you. The bread of life. The bread of life broken for you, Rose. Holy God, we are so grateful for this, for every opportunity to gather as Jesus' friends at Jesus' table, to be inspired to do Jesus' work. In your name we pray, amen. Now we have a choir anthem.
Thank you, choir. Now we have our kids' time. Would our kiddos like to come up?
Hi. Hey, everybody. It's good to see you. Today, when you go to Sunday school, we, staying here, are going to talk about what God wants from us. What do you think God wants from us? It's okay. It's a kind of big, complicated question, right? Love? Yep. Yeah. Perfect. Okay, it's not a big, complicated question. Not at all. Be a good person. Perfect. You know exactly. Anybody else? Anything? Love and be a good person. Sometimes we seem to think that it's one of those big, complicated questions. Like, God wants us to go to church all the time, and I'm really glad you're here. But that's not what God says. And God wants us to do all sorts of things. But it tells us in the Bible that God wants us to love kindness, to be a good person and a loving person, to do justice, so to be fair, and to walk with God. So to be aware of God around us and in us. Do justice, love kindness, walk with God. That's not complicated at all, which doesn't necessarily mean it's very easy. Sometimes it feels easier not to be kind. But God asks us to. Okay, let's pray. Holy God, bless these kids. Bless all the kids in our lives. Bless the kids in our hearts, in our community. Help them to grow in wisdom. Help them to grow in faith, to grow in love of you, of their neighbors, of themselves. Help them to know that they are precious. To love kindness, do justice, and walk with God. Amen. All right, you can go to Sunday school with Mrs. McFarland now. Use your walking feet.
Our reading this morning from the Hebrew scripture is from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. This ends our reading.
Thank you. And our gospel reading today is from Matthew. It's chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. So if you've been reading the footnotes at all, you can tell that there's a little bit of a theme today. Talking about the Puritans, our congregational ancestors, history. We're celebrating Thanksgiving this week, a holiday with a lot of very complicated history. So it'd be fun to take a look. The Puritans were our direct ancestors here in the UCC, Congregationalists. They left England 1630 because the Church of England had issues. The liturgy was too ornate, there were bishops, the Protestant Reformation didn't go nearly far enough, so they wanted to establish a more Christian place. Might be a little surprising that our UCC comes from the Puritans, right? I mean, we're the most progressive Christianity, the often known as flexible, we're open and affirming. H.L. Mencken said that Puritanism was the haunting fear that someone, somewhere, might be happy. That's the stereotype, right? They were anti-pleasure, anti-joy, anti-sexuality, anti-fun. Just anti a whole lot of things. They were puritanical. They did not use that word themselves. It was used by others to make fun of them. Oh, look at those high and mighty. They're so pure, the Puritans. They called themselves the godly. They called themselves God's children, the saints. And they were indeed serious about church. The services were plain and simple. There would not have been a church that looked much like this. No stained glass, no art. All the singing was a cappella. No pianos or organs. Definitely not a guitar. And they sang the Psalms. Only the Psalms. The preaching, that was what the service was about. And the preaching would be hours. And you had to pay attention the whole time. The whole time. And there would be somebody sitting in the back, ready to knock you on the head if you were talking or dozed a little bit. And that's a thing we should bring back. All right. No. I meant to bring my hourglass because the tithingman, who was sitting in the back with the head knocker, also would set the hourglass. And if it ran out, he would tell the pastor, "You got to keep going. That sermon isn't nearly long enough." Sermon would be hours. Y'all are lucky. They started colleges almost immediately after arriving here to educate their ministers. Harvard was six years after the arrival. Yale was a few years later. Their polity was much like ours, actually. There was no faraway system, no boss of the church. Each congregation was its own body. And the local congregations would communicate with each other, keep each other honest, but it was voluntary. They called their own minister Somebody somewhere far off didn't choose a minister and send one. They called their own. We still do that, don't we, Tammy? And that's actually how the UCC were the first to call a woman pastor and a black pastor and an openly gay pastor. Because the whole church all across the country didn't have to be ready. One congregation had to be ready. They put a lot of emphasis on education. Everybody was expected to read the Bible, so everybody had to be educated. They thought about critical thinking. They believed in science. Science is another way to know God. So, of course, you look at science. They were open to educating women because women needed to know how to read the Bible too. They would read at home. They would teach their kids about the Bible. They had an incredibly high literacy rate. The Puritans were, in fact, not anti-alcohol. They believed it was a gift from God. They were against any kind of drinking to excess. But they drank, on average, a lot more than we do. There were towns that were fined for not having a tavern. Because the Bible is full of alcohol. And they read the Bible and they took it seriously. Not always literally, but very seriously. They weren't anti-sexuality. They were opposed to sex outside of marriage, but in marriage, they were sex positive. And this is in contrast to Catholic emphasis on virginity. There was a Puritan settlement in Massachusetts that banished a husband for not doing his husbandly duties. They were strict Calvinist. They believed in total depravity and in predestination. Yes. Believed that God had already chosen who would go to heaven, who was elect, and who was not. And how do we know? Look in somebody's life for signs of favor. Things are going well, then probably, maybe they're on the list. They believed in conversion experiences. Not in the way that evangelicals talk about them now, being born again, but after much thought, much learning, much understanding, much prayer, they believed they could be turned around. And they required this conversion experience for church membership. You couldn't have your kids baptized unless you were a member. Also, you couldn't vote. You couldn't hold any sort of public office. Now, this worked fine with the first generation of Puritans. They'd had a conversion experiences. They had their kids baptized. Can you see a problem for perhaps the next generation? The second generation, they could be baptized. They were baptized, most of them, all of them. But then they had to have their own conversion experiences to become full members and to get their kids baptized. So by the third generation, there were a bunch of not baptized people. They invented something called a halfway covenant. Church relies on members. So halfway covenant, you could be partially a member. The children of full members could be half members if they followed all the rules. And they could have their kids baptized. They still couldn't take communion. That was only for the few. They still couldn't vote. They still couldn't hold office. So this was a little bit solving the problem, but not at all. part of the reason that the Puritans declined. There were others. Marilyn Robinson has said we should use the word priggish rather than puritanical, because by all the standards of the day, they were pretty open. There was more women's leadership. There were a lot fewer witches burned in Salem than in Europe, cities all over Europe, where the Inquisition was still happening. When they came, 1630, John Winthrop, you might have heard of him, stood on a ship, and he addressed the people of the ships as they prepared to depart. He preached a sermon to them about what they were to do when they arrived. He said the new community would be a city on a hill. They'd be looked at by the whole world. And because of that, they needed to be very, very careful that it didn't end in a shipwreck. He said, don't mess it up. People are watching, and they want us to fail. So we should shine so everyone can see. And we still talk about this metaphor. Politicians even now use it, city on a hill. But it's been around longer. It was in Scripture. We just heard it. It's just after the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Jesus had finished saying, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted. And then he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill can't be hidden. Don't hide your light under a bushel basket. Shine. Shine for everyone. Now, we are in one of the only countries in the world that is watched pretty constantly in a 24-hour news cycle and all over the internet. We are watched and analyzed and somewhat admired and quite a bit disliked. At our best, we can shine for good. Place of hope and freedom that still draws immigrants. And sometimes our light has been obscured. White supremacy and Christian nationalism and hatred and inequality and violence and poverty. As a city on the hill, to shine has to be full of people, of salt and light, people that love kindness, do justice, and walk with God. John Winthrop, in that speech that day, that sermon, he quoted Micah. This is what we have to do. This is why we are going to this new world that actually wasn't new at all. Do justice, love kindness, walk with God. What would we look like if we did all that? He says there are rules, overriding rules, that should govern all interactions in a community. Justice and mercy. Justice and mercy, which we are to have for our neighbors as well as ourselves. It was this radical exhortation to love. This idea of being a city on the hill, it's the basis of American exceptionalism. JFK referred to this, Ronald Reagan, Obama. John Sullivan, a columnist who wrote about Manifest Destiny, referred to this sermon, a city on a hill. Micah gave us a prescription. Do justice, love kindness, walk with God. Every day we have to recommit to those. To be walking with God, walking with Jesus, means we never are without responsibility, also never without hope. Our ancestors, the Puritans, they gave us UCC respect for education, for learning, for science, for thinking. We have inherited much that is good for them. We're a little less strict about membership. Everybody's welcome. Everybody gets communion. But we still covenant for a better world and dream of a better world and long for a better world and are called to make a better world. And to believe that a better world is possible. That's our heritage. Amen. And our hymn is We Praise You, O God. Is that one familiar?
Okay. 420 in the hymnal.
Yes, 420. God invites us to share our prayers, prayers of joy, prayers of concern. God knows the details. Any prayers to share today?
Couple of them to pray for this week. Two friends of mine, Randy Hoig and Jim Covers, who both lost their spouses on Tuesday to cancer. Long fights for both of these ladies, and that they're resting in peace. And sharing the joy of the same day, Circle of Life, the Everett family who joined or had a newborn join their family this week.
like to pray for the safety of all the hunters and us, all the travelers coming and going for Thanksgiving, that it all is safe. And also for the people on the East Coast and people on the West Coast who are suffering from a lot of weather.
Please keep Christy Stotz and Gary Schlender in our prayers. Both are recovering from illnesses at this point.
Let's take a moment of silence for the prayers that we hold in our hearts. Our beloved parent, we pray today for Randy and Jim. Their spouses move on to larger life. And for all those who are affected by cancer and other illnesses, we pray for hunters, pray for all who are traveling for holidays, may they be safe and well. I pray for those who are facing disaster, weather-related disaster. And we pray for commitment to doing something about climate change. We pray for those who will not be with their family, will not have a feast on Thanksgiving. It can be a lonely, hard time as well. Holy God, we pray for Christy, for Gary and Sandy, for Deb, Katie, for Larry, all those in this congregation touched by illness or having to recover. And we give thanks. We give thanks for babies, for newborns, for the circle of life, for gathering with family, that we will have full tables. These prayers and the prayers we hold in our hearts, we ask you to hear us today. Amen. I have a little bit of good news that I have today. Food banks in North America have started to push to stock culturally relevant foods. So things like cornmeal, okra, tofu, tortillas, spices. There are a lot of studies that show people who go to a food bank and don't receive foods that they recognize or know anything about feel stigmatized and unwelcome, and that makes sense, right? A number of people in this country and around this continent who experience food insecurity, maybe immigrants, refugees. There was a food bank worker in Alberta who said suddenly a light bulb went off for him when a man from North Africa came in for a food box, pre-packed. He got his box and he looked at pasta and said, "What is this? And what do I do with it?" So we give thanks for feeding people and growing sensitivity to the needs and lives of others. And let us pray as Jesus taught us. Holy One, you can use whatever you wish. The one we have here is from Holy Wisdom Monastery in Madison. Holy One, our only home, blessed be your name. Your day dawn, your will be done, here as in heaven. Feed us today and forgive us as we forgive each other. Do not forsake us at the test, but deliver us from evil. For the glory, the power, and the mercy are yours, now and forever. Amen. We are asked to give from our many blessings to build this community. Community of loving justice, doing kindness, walking with God.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WR